Everything the Border. Lou and Matt on the Borders 105.7 Triple M.
Welcome to the Catch Up podcast on what was a packed Monday. Now, we talked to Olympian Matt Ryan, who on the Saturday just gone, Lou, 20 years ago won gold for Australia in equestrian.
Yes, at the Sydney 2000 Olympics. So many amazing Olympic memories at the moment. You'll hear from Matt pretty well straight up.
It was a great chat too.
Talked
about his memories of it, obviously, about the horses themselves. He had two famous horses that he won gold on. And wait till you hear how old those horses managed to get to as well before they passed away.
I reckon if you win Olympic gold, if you're the horse that wins Olympic gold, you probably get a fairly good life.
like the
racehorse that wins races.
And you'd want to brag to all your horse friends, which would keep you alive for a good few years as well, I would imagine.
Sure, as long as your horse friends didn't like beat you up for being a blowhard.
So many horse issues there, Lou,
yes,
about the interpersonal relationships that we didn't actually get into with Matt Ryan. It was other stuff. Plenty of other stuff going on, including a winner finally for our ultimate ear test.
Yes. If you didn't hear it, you'll hear what the sound was at the end of the ultimate ear test. It was pesky. It was keeping everyone guessing, but not Linda. She figured it out.
Yeah. Scotty Cam joined us as well, Lou. They're shutting down the block.
Shutting down our town.
That's right. Well, of course, they did shut it down because
yes,
it's all recorded. But we're up to the stage where it's late March. So everything had to shut down. The contestants had to go back to their home state. You'll hear from Scott Cam what impact that obviously had, a pretty big impact. You'll find out just what kind of impact a little bit later in the podcast.
Yeah, and I took a lovely little road trip around northeast Victoria on the weekend. Why? Because I could. Because I was allowed to. It was amazing too.
And speaking of rules, we caught up with Melburnian Wayne Schwoss, our mate Swatter, of course, usually talking footy, but our focus today really had to start off with the fact that Melbourne's cases have just dropped massively down to levels that Sydney roughly get every day, 11 across the on Sunday overnight. And we just talked to him about whether he thinks that finally the draconian kind of rules and regulations should be eased somewhat, Lou.
Yeah, so they can move around a bit more freely, our poor Melbourne friends. But let's get into our chat, great chat with Matt Ryan, who won a gold medal at the Sydney 2000 Olympics.
On Saturday, 20 years ago, the Saturday just gone, one of Australia's most successful equestrian riders, Matt Ryan, won gold with Philip Dutton, Cull Cairns, Andrew Hoy and Stuart Tinney in the three-day teams event. Here's a little bit of Matt on his horse, Kyber Sandstone.
The more you put at him, the more he puts his head up, doesn't see his fences and then fights even more. It'll be interesting to watch them through the first water combination, because there he must be.
Listen to that patriotic Aussie crowd, Lou.
Yes.
And Matt Ryan, triple gold medalist, also won at Barcelona in 92, joins us right now. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. How are you going?
Really well. So does it seem like 20 years ago, Matt?
Oh, sometimes when I wake up in the morning and the old injuries let me know they've been there, yeah, it does. But actual fact, no, I can't believe it's 20 years ago.
So what was it like being there and obviously, first of all, having the Olympics in Australia, in Sydney, and having a home crowd? Do you think that was part of the reason that the team did so well?
Oh, possibly. I was actually initially, although proud the fact that Sydney won the Olympic bid, I was actually quite nervous about competing, not just in Australia, but Sydney's sort of my home city. You know, I came from the Maitland-Newcastle area, and so I did a lot of my competition around the Sydney area. And I was worried about all my friends, my mates, my family sort of getting in the way from me focusing. But in actual fact, it didn't have that effect at all. It really did. You're right. It inspired us. What I also inspired us that we were trying to create history.
Yeah.
We had won a team gold medal in 92, a team gold medal in 96, and we were trying to create history by winning another team gold medal in Sydney. No other nation had won this particular team gold medal for three consecutive Olympics. So that was one of the things that also really inspired us.
Yeah, and you were up against the Brits. All I could manage to find was some British commentary of the event. Here's a little example. Talking about your horse, Kyber Sandstone.
Sandstone does not make life easy for Matt. Tends to fight with his head, which very often loses a little bit of time for Matt. And that could just be something that might give Britain a chance to get another little bit back.
Incorrect, I'm afraid, BBC commentary.
We had a fantastic cross-country round. But Mike Tucker, that was the commentator there. He was right. Kuiper Sandstein had the potential to be quite tricky, very sensitive. You had to be very soft with your hand and controlling him. But, no, we had a fantastic round.
So when you first get horses like Kuiper Sandstein, for example, are they already trained in eventing, or are you buying a horse and then teaching it how to do all these events?
It varies a lot. Now, in actual fact, I didn't own many of the horses I rode. Part of my business was riding other people's horses, and I got paid to do it. So that was how I ran my business. So I wasn't able to always select the horses. I just had to deal with what I got. Some of them came to me really green, and then it was my responsibility to train them up. Some of them actually came to me reasonably well educated or certainly experienced, and I just have to tweak it, change a few things. It varied so much, there is no simple answer to that question, I'm afraid.
Now, here's something a little sad, though, but expected. The horse that you won in 92 on, Kuiper TikTok, with the brother of Kuiper Sandstone and Kuiper Sandstone, both passed away, but they lived to an extraordinary age, both of them, for horses.
Yeah, they did. Kuiper TikTok, he lived to the ripe old age of 37. Kuiper Sandstone, he got to 35. Just fantastic horses. Both bred by the lady Bud Heim from out of Gunnedah. Yes, really. Most horses don't get to that age. You hear of ponies getting to that age, but not normal horses. So it's a real sign of how tough and resilient they were, which is obviously why they were gold medal horses.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, obviously, when you win a gold medal, you get the gold medal. That's the end game for you. What does the horse get, Matt?
Oh, a lot of appreciation, which he probably doesn't realise or get. That's a good question, and I'm not quite sure I can answer it satisfactory from the horse's point of view.
An extra apple,
yes, that's right. Apples or carrots or polos, those sweet mints. They like the sweet mints. These days, people like giving the horses licorices as little treats. Yeah,
gotcha.
They would have got lots and lots of treats.
Hey, Matt, where's the gold medal?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. In actual fact, I've got it right here with me. I'm travelling around Australia. I take it with me to all the clinics that I do, and the kids like to see them.
Oh, yeah.
Quite often I do little evening talks at the places I go to and bring the medals out. So everyone likes to see those gold medals.
That's so
I keep them with me most of the time.
Beautiful. Matt Ryan, triple Olympic equestrian gold medalist and Olympic gold medalist from the 2000 Sydney Olympics. Thank you so much for sharing your memories.
No worries, pleasure, thank you.
One song, one star, one sound. Triple M's ultimate ear test for Kiwa Milk, truly local.
All right, here it is for $500, the ultimate ear test with two clues and two parts of it already guessed. Have a listen.
It's a funny thing.
To say we're at the business end of proceedings, Lou, is an understatement.
It is. Linda from Albury, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, great, thank you. Now, Linda, you haven't had a guess at this ultimate ear test, have you?
I haven't.
Oh, now, I mean, we've got the two clues, indoors and kitchen. We know we know the first one, we know the second one. We just need that sound. So, for $500, tell us the three parts, Linda.
Okay, Pearl Jam, Even Flow, Russell Crowe. And is the third one closing a sandwich press and then locking it into place?
Closing a sandwich press.
Yep.
For $500. What would you do with $500, Linda?
I'm thinking a road trip.
Oh, where would you go?
Up to the beach somewhere in New South Wales, the side of the border,
Let's have another listen.
It's a funny thing.
Lou?
Linda.
Yeah?
It is, in fact, closing a sandwich press.
Yay!
Oh, my God.
It really is. That's exactly what it is. We've got one here in the kitchen at work, and that is the sound.
Linda, you have won $500 cash thanks to Kiwa Milk. How do you feel?
Oh, my God, I'm telling my kids, I've heard that clunking sound way too many times with my boys. I know that sound.
Teenage boys, they're always looking for food.
They're always in the kitchen.
Yep, and making toasted sandwiches by the sound of things.
And making a mess. Oh, my God, thank you.
Oh, that is so good. Well, enjoy your road trip. You've got your $500. You're all sorted.
Oh, my God, thank you so much, guys. I'm so excited.
No worries. Congratulations. It was indeed closing a sandwich press. Even Flow Pearl Jam, Russell Crowe, bang with the sandwich press.
Love it.
I did it myself.
You made the sound.
I recorded it. I took the sandwich press into one of our real quiet soundproof rooms.
Studios, yeah.
So it was the perfect. If anyone's out there wanting the sound of a sandwich press to perfection, just get in contact with me because you'll never get a better sandwich press closing sound than that one, Luke.
There you go. Fantastic, Linda. We're so pumped for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just hang on the line. There we go. The ultimate ear test run and won. There will be another one, a new one, this week. It's Lou and Matt. Thanks to Kiwa Milk, truly local. It's the ultimate ear test on Triple M. And ridiculously high scores last night on the block for the Master Bedroom Odds Suite with Luke and Jasmine and Jimmy and Tam tying for the win. But all is not well on the block because this was filmed at the end of March, what we're watching at the moment. So the block is about to be shut down.
Calls down! The block is brought to its knees as COVID-19 shuts the site down.
I'm shutting it down now.
Oh, we need more info from the great man himself, Scotty Cam. Scott, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you? Yeah, big times back then.
Oh, that's for sure. So, pardon me, obviously that's happening tonight that the block's being shut down. And we know that the contestants had to go home, Scotty, but was the whole site closed for 6 weeks?
Well, we shut it down, but we kept a skeleton crew of our building team, which we were allowed to do. Yeah. Construction was allowed to continue at that time. And we got all the external structure of the homes built.
Ah.
But when the contestants came back, they weren't, you know, we didn't have 100 tradesmen there because we normally would have 100 tradesmen there.
Yeah.
We built all the outside, so when they came back, they worked on the inside only.
Oh, and fabulous.
They didn't have to do much on the outside. There was some to do on the outside, but not a great deal. So that was, we got it ready for them and we put a lot of things in place to make sure that they could come back and finish it.
Yeah, and in your words, Scotty, we're about to see some of the best rooms ever on the block. So how the hell did they manage to do that, having 6 full weeks away? How did they come back and knock out these amazing rooms?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose it was beneficial to them at some point because they got to rejuvenate.
Yes. Physically.
But then they had to get back into it mentally. So that took them a little while because the block is all about match fitness and lack of sleep. And if you go home and get your normal sleep again and then come back and you've got to go back into that routine of no sleep, working around the clock, it's tough to get match fit again and fire up.
Yeah.
But physically for them, it was a benefit, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And not as, like, I suppose after that 6 weeks too, did you find that everyone was maybe just a bit more relaxed, as in not as frightened? Because initially when everything happened with COVID back in March, we were all bloody scared.
Yeah, you know what? That's the thing that we're forgetting, I think, back then. We don't know what we know now.
That's it.
London had just locked down and with stage four and with no... You know, with no notice. And so we thought, is that going to happen here? We all had grandparents. My mother's 87, you know, she's in a seniors village. And the word was that all the old people are going to die. It's going to, once it gets through the nursing homes, it's going to just go crazy. Obviously, Melbourne's in stage four now, and it's pretty full on. So, you know, we were shutting down, but we also were taking people's livelihoods away from them. It was a big decision to do.
Huge.
But at the end of the day, you know, we had all the staff that were freelance. And they're not getting paid if they're not working.
Yeah.
So that was a massive decision. And then, you know, we put the TV show second, as we always do, and the people in our company and our contestants first, and the safety of those people. And so that's why we shut down. You know, we had to make that decision.
Yeah, we're going to see it all from tonight on Channel 9. Hey, Scotty, just before you go, can I ask a personal question?
Yeah.
So it's 20 years ago was the Sydney Olympics, right? We're talking to Matt Ryan, who's a gold medal winner, coming up at about 20 past eight. 20 years ago is 3 years before the first season of The Block. What were you doing in 2000, Scott Cam?
I was making the incredibly popular show Backyard Blitz.
That's right, Backyard Blitz.
There you go.
So yeah, that's... we started that show in 1999, and we did that for about 6 years.
And it was an amazing show too.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The same, we just love watching people renovate and zhuzh up their houses, don't we?
Yeah, I think we do. Look, you know, everybody loves to do that, improve their lot in life, improve their space. And you know, these shows give everybody great ideas and know-how and how to do it. And it's good family viewing, you know. We used to have a lot of kids that loved Backyard Blitz in the old days. And kids under 10 years old, they loved it. They loved all the machinery. And so it was good old-fashioned sit-down family viewing on a Sunday night.
Awesome. And it led to The Block as well. Scott Cam, we're going to see it tonight, closing down for COVID. Extraordinary scenes tonight on Channel 9. Thanks so much for joining us, Scott Cam.
Good on you, guys. Thanks. See you later.
Well, speaking of COVID, Luke, there's been a lot of talk, obviously, with the restrictions easing, especially in restrictions in Victoria, of course, but, of course, as well, we've got the larger border region now, that people should get out and enjoy our local region and spread the wealth around and buy things. And...
yeah, well, because we're allowed to leave home for any reason now. It's not just the four reasons
in
that we had for so long in Victoria.
Yeah.
So,
so
very exciting on Saturday. I jumped in the car with my friend Joe, and we just said we're going to Myrtleford. Remember, I said last week I want to go to Myrtleford because there's a shop I wanted to go and see there. So we went and had a look at Red Ramia and had a beautiful meal up there. They've got a cafe in there called Cafe Fez. It was amazing. I've got to tell you, it was so delicious. We're so lucky around here because we live, it's the food bowl of northeast Victoria and southern New South Wales. So if you want good food, it was beautiful.
Were they happy? To see, I'm guessing there were quite a few people around.
So happy to see people.
Because Myrtleford was out of the border zone, out of the border bubble. They've only just been put into the border region in the last few weeks.
Yeah, exactly. So, they were wrapped. And obviously it was lovely weather on Saturday. So it was really nice and people were out and about. And so that was awesome. Went to Myrtleford, then went to Yak, which is always gorgeous.
It's a beautiful place, though.
And just wandered around there and had some lovely afternoon tea and then up to Beechworth and did the same. Just got, you know, when you haven't been out for so long, it's so good just to wander around the shops and
absolutely.
Just walk up the street when the weather's nice. And although you couldn't see people smiling because obviously we still have to wear masks. But here's my tip on that, Matt, right?
Yeah.
If you go somewhere to eat, you don't have to wear a mask. So just eat your way around northeast Victoria and you won't have to wear a mask, all right?
It's Triple M.
Talking footy with Swatter.
Don't tell me! Somebody tell me! I don't believe it!
Yes, and we welcome Wayne Schwoss live from lockdown in Melbourne. Still morning, Swatter.
Oh, is it? is it a good morning, is it?
You wouldn't know.
I couldn't even tell you. We're a lot of days in lockdown here. There's nothing good about it. But I'm happy to be here. Lou always brightens up my mood and my day, so it's
Swatter.
Always a pleasure.
So we're down to 11 overnight, Swatter, which is the average that Sydney roughly has been getting about 11 with no masks, no lockdowns, COVID normal. Is it time to release the shackles?
Well, there's much smarter people managing this situation than me, but as a layperson, I think we've done a remarkably good job of bringing our numbers down to double digits, 11 overnight. Sadly, two deaths occurred, and every life lost to this has been really devastating for the family and those affected. But Victorians have paid a heavy price, not only individually, but collectively, economically, financially, employment. This is a tremendous burden that the people in Victoria have had to pay, especially Melbourne. And you'd like to think that there's a silver lining at the end of it. And the Premier starts to realise that, you know, we can't keep paying the price that we're paying. And the long-term impact of this will be a dramatic impact on people's mental health and emotional well-being, even once the restrictions have been lifted.
Yeah, that's the thing, Swatter, I guess. I mean, and not to get too, you know, sort of... down on it all, because it is obviously very difficult. But the difference between just even for us here and you know, regional Victoria has been it's been lifted. The restrictions have been lifted. To be able to go out and just drive around where we normally drive all the time here, people from the south side of the border, it was so uplifting. I can't even tell you. Like, it was just, people were so happy. Everyone was smiling. Everyone was happy to be able to go out.
Yeah.
So just the thought that there are people who are still, you know, unable to do the things they do on a day-to-day basis, it's really awful.
I hear you. And I'm so happy for the people that can do that now. As you both know, I'm a passionate cyclist, and we've got a two-hour exercise limit every day. It's a bit hard to go around Albert Park like I do for 2 hours, and I keep saying to my riding buddies, I cannot explain how excited I am when the day comes we can go for a long ride from Melbourne to Sorrento. It's 160Ks, no big deal. But to have the freedom, to ride to Sorrento with friends, have a coffee, have something to eat, and then just cruise back, is something that we haven't been able to do since March.
Yeah. Chance of getting COVID from a ride to Sorrento, zero. Let's be honest.
Absolute donuts.
I tell you what, all right, well, we've got to move on because we haven't got any time to talk about the weekend's footy games. Which
I think we've just got a moment, haven't we, Swatter? I think we have got a second.
I put it out to the family. I said I want some images of what Matt needs to get as a tattoo because he lost his bet. Adelaide finished on the bottom of the ladder. Sydney and North Melbourne were up above them. And I've whittled it down to three. So bear with me. Number one, the picture of a skunk. Because from time to time, if you just let a little waft of a sort of pungent smell, especially when he's exercising, that's number one. Number two, and I've looked at this closely, and if you put it side by side in a split image screen, there's not much difference between Matt and an alpaca, and it spits.
And I love alpacas.
The third one, which I am favouring at the moment. Is I've looked at this creature long and hard, and it just embodies Matt's attitude to any form of physical exercise. It lives up in a tree, and it's called a sloth.
A little sloth.
That's at the top of it.
All right, well and truly out of time. Tonight, Collingwood, Port Adelaide, who do you like, Swatter?
I'm going for the only team in Adelaide that plays any decent footy. That's Port Adelaide. And if people could send me messages on social media, let me know your choice between the skunk, the alpaca, or the sloth.
Thanks, Swatter.
I need to take the votes. Polling ends this Friday.
Swatter, sensational. And we can't go by without saying Lions, number one on the ladder. Go Lions for the win. Thank you, Swatter.
Chris Fagan can send me a message to say thank you, Wayne. Have a good
week. He's full of it today. It's Lou and Matt. It's Triple M.
Mowers, your M's. The new Toro Zero Turn Mower. Exclusively at Cadmac. 105.7 Triple M.
Oh, and I'm just having a look at it now, Lou. This mower is absolutely sensational. You can get into the tightest little crevices on your lawn area, so to speak.
Yeah.
Can't you, Lou?
Yeah, that's right. You've got to keep it tidy, Matt. There's no doubt about that.
That's right. Still talking about the lawn, aren't we?
Of course.
Yes. Yeah. Mowers your M's for the magnificent Toro SS4225 time cutter mower valued at almost $6,000. What do we want people to do, Lou?
We want you to mow our M's, our Triple M logo, into your lawn and show us the photo, show us the evidence. Mm-hmm. And you can do it any size you like. I would say, look, in this case, bigger is certainly better.
Josh from Jindera has done just that. Let's find out how big his M's are. Josh, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm just having a look at your picture now. That's a quality mowing job right there, buddy.
Yeah, she's going to be hard to beat, mate.
I love the confidence. Now, Josh, did you peg it out first or like spray it out before you mowed it, or did you just go freestyle?
No, I just went full into it. I sort of got the skill from 7 years of working at the golf course. So
because it's beautifully, like the bottom of the M's is beautifully rounded off. It's just magnificent.
I one of the pavers out the front.
Yeah, right. You've done an exceptional job there. And then did you get a drone up?
Yeah, got the drone up. Got a bit of a Got all the views and then got the missus to have a look at it.
There you go.
It does look very, very schmick. It really looks awesome. So, and now if you do win, obviously you win the beautiful Toro Zero Turn Mower. You said you worked at the golf course as a greenkeeper, so you'd be a bit of a dab hand on a ride on then.
Yes, not too bad. Not much on a zero turn. We didn't really have zero turns there, but it would be definitely handy to mow it a fair bit.
All right, great. Well, good luck.
Be easy.
You've done a sensational job. It's in the running. Good luck, Josh.
Thanks, legend. Have a good one.
All right, for your chance, you've got to mow the M's. You've still got a little while to go, so you've got plenty of time. Get out there and give it a crack, and then jump onto triplem.com.au. All the details are there. It's thanks to CADMAC, Mow Us Your M's, and that beautiful time cutter zero turn mower.